You can keep up with all the episodes of the Journalism Salute by checking out our newsletter. The link is at the bottom of the show notes. Hope you'll subscribe. And let us know where you're listening from and what you think of the podcast. Email us at journalismsalute@gmail.com. Thank you. Hi and welcome to the Journalism Salute. I'm Mark Simon. In each episode, we'll talk to or about an interesting person or organization related to journalism. The intent is to show that journalists are not the enemy of the people. Thank you for listening. On this episode, we're joined by Mary Rasura. Mary is a student at Florida Atlantic University. She will graduate in December with a degree in multimedia journalism. She's a reporter for Florida Atlantic University Press and for Out South Florida, an LGBT-focused publication. And she's the executive editor of Out FAU, a student publication at the school that she founded. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Let's talk origin story. What was it that got you interested in being a journalist? What's your origin story?
But yeah, no, I just, you know, always loved writing. You know, when I was in elementary school and like we had to do these like essays, I would turn in like twice or three times as much as like we had to turn in because I would just keep writing. And then I eventually, you know, I always followed the news too. And then I just realized, oh, there's this career where you can write and, you know, inform people. And I kind of think do a good service to the world. So then once I kind of learned, you know, working as a reporter, maybe like middle school and stuff, I was like, yeah, this is it for me. And then I joined my high school paper in high school. And that was a really cool experience.
Nice. So where are you from?
I'm from Florida. I was born in Miami and I lived in Miami until I was 12. And then me and my mom, we moved to Lake Worth, which is just south of West Palm Beach.
Gotcha. Is there anything in your family or heritage that lends itself to storytelling?
I don't know. My mom's side is from Cuba and it's a lot of teachers. And I feel like teaching is, you know, you got to keep people's attention somewhat, but I don't know. I don't know if I would attribute it to my family. I mean, me and my mom definitely is, my mom's from Cuba, as I said. And so like in Cuba, like there's kind of like chisme, which is like gossip. And I feel like that's kind of it, like storytelling in a way. I mean, you know, cause my grandma like lives in Cuba. And so there's not much to do besides talk to your neighbors and like figure out like what's going on. And I constantly hear my mom like talking to my grandma about me or just tell it, you know what I mean? And so I think like maybe just being raised with that kind of culture, because I'm definitely a talker too.
So I will tell you that you are certainly not the first, and it spreads across. It is true, regardless of gender, ethnicity, race, you were not the first to say that gossip is probably part of the heritage with regards to your journalistic interests. That seems to be a common theme. All right, so explain, let's start with Out FAU, and we can talk about all the different things that you do, but I think Out FAU is the most significant. Can you explain how that came to be?
Yeah. So last year, in kind of the fall semester, like last year, I mean, DeSantis, this bill that we talk about a lot that kind of defunded DEI initiatives in the state university system, like launched or it was like passed last year. And I just remember last year, like around April, like it was signed, like it kind of went into effect over the summer. And so I remember in April, like there was a protest at FAU kind of about this upcoming bill before it passed or before it was signed. And I covered that protest for the University Press. So that was kind of when I started being really aware of what was going on. And then in the fall, I wrote a story for Out South Florida where because of this bill, FAU has had a drag show that has been every year for like over a decade. I mean, it happened last year, but I wrote this article for Out South Florida where they had to change certain things about it for it to go on. So they closed it to the public. It used to be open to the public and they closed it. So you had to be like a student or staff or connected to the university to attend. They changed the name. So it used to be like the blank annual drag show, you know, whatever year it was, or, you know, the 12th annual drag show or the 13th annual drag show. So they changed the name to just be like Owl Manor, take drag out of the name. And they made sure that everyone had to be over 18. And I went to the drag show, you know, after writing that kind of what was going on, and they did check our IDs. And so that was kind of interesting. But it was just kind of interesting that they kind of put in these things into place that weren't there before because of this bill. So that, I kind of was talking about that with my editor about that. So that was like one of the things. The big thing that happened that was a big impetus for launching Out of AU was that we had a diversity center. So the Center for Ideas, which stood for the Center for Inclusion, Diversity Education, and Advocacy, closed for the summer, like last summer. And it just kind of quietly shut down. And FAU was kind of one of the first schools to start shutting down their DI offices. Cause like just recently, like UF and UNF kind of did it like this year. So, but FAU just kind of did it like on the down low. And then that happening on top of the drag show, it seemed like all of these things were happening where the effects of DeSantis and his, you know, culture wars, I will call it, were affecting, you know, my campus. And so I was talking about it with my editor at OutSFL, my mentor, because he is an FAU alum as well. And so he kind of said it like as a joke almost, but then we were like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's a good idea. And so, you know, I had run for university press editor for the third time in November, and then last November. And then I tied with the person I was running against, and then the tie was broken in her favor. So it was kind of like, oh, well, I'm not doing anything now. You know, so it was like that. It was like the fact that like, I had run to be editor of the UP, I lost, and I didn't lose, but I tied, but then didn't get it. And I kind of am glad in retrospect that that happened, because I think it's been cool, like launching out FAU. It's definitely been a really cool experience. And it kind of makes me feel more like having a sense of control, like with all of these, like with DeSantis and his policies that I don't agree with. So that was kind of how it came into fruition.
So a couple of things here. One, this is a month. Is it a monthly? Is it a website? I know some of the details, but I want you to share them with the audience.
Yeah, yeah. So we have been printing monthly issues since January. So our last issue for this kind of semester is going to be our May issue. And then we're going to go on hiatus with printing monthly issues over the summer. And then we're going to start printing monthly issues again in August for the fall semester. But we have a website. So we're going to, as we've been printing these monthly issues, we've also been doing stuff online. So over the summer, we will be posting stuff online. We're going to be planning out our August issue, which I really want to do a new student edition, you know, for August. Another plan that we have is to do a voter guide that would come out in October for the November election. So I'm going to be using the summer to kind of plan out like what we're going to be doing for the fall semester in regards to the print issues. But yeah, we had a print issue for January, February, March, April, and the May issue is going to go to print like next week.
It's like 8 pages or so?
Yeah.
Nice. So did I hear right that you wrote the whole first issue yourself?
Yeah, because it was kind of like, you know, we're starting this new thing, and I think people needed to realize like it was really happening before they were like motivated to come. So it just kind of worked out that way, but I'm pretty proud of it. And my friend, like one of my friend jokes that it's like the Mary edition.
Nice. So what are the things that you, what are the principles that you want this to be?
Kind of like, I definitely want us to be focused on, you know, the LGBT community. That's really a big part of it. But also, you know, other groups too. Like, I definitely am planning to be writing about abortion just because, like, we, you know, actually today, May 1st, our 6-week abortion ban went into place in Florida. And so that, you know, I mean, most people don't even know they're pregnant by that time, because if like your period's every 4 weeks and then it's only like a week, you know what I mean? It's just, it is just so, like, they might as well ban it outright, in my opinion. And it really seems like it's going that direction. So kind of things like that, like things that are related to, you know, kind of these progressive ideas, like, you know, I definitely want that to be a part of our principles. So I, you know, we'll be covering kind of, but also, you know, very Florida centric, very like what is relevant to South Florida. But yeah, so, and like free speech, I really support like free speech and kind of, you know, a diversity of people and also a diversity of like opinions. You know, I definitely welcome opinion pieces, and I really want it to be representative of the queer community. You know, I definitely don't think we all have to think the same way.
One of the things that you wrote within the piece, I think, where you were named executive editor, I have thought of leaving Florida and moving away because I felt so disheartened by what's going on, but I feel like I should stay and we should fight the current situation. That sounds like a part of the founding principles.
Yeah.
As well. And I'm curious, has there anything that's happened? Have you written anything about things that happened that had a direct impact in the moment on you specifically?
You know, I don't know, because with the Center for Ideas closing, it kind of felt, there was like a lounge area, like this LGBT lounge area. And I actually really didn't even know it was there until it closed. So it was almost like, darn, like this is like an opportunity taken away from me that, you know what I mean? But I do know people like that have also been involved with Out of the U that like used to use that space and were very connected with it. So I talked to them and I heard how it was like, and it's darn, it's almost like, you know, it's like something that's taken away from you that you wanted to use. I did that Center for Ideas though. What happened like years ago, I mean, I've been at FAU, like I'm like a 6-year senior. I like joke because I started there in like 2018. But, you know, they had this lavender graduation. So it was kind of like this graduation ceremony that was for queer students. And I went there with a friend of mine like years ago. And when I went, I was like, oh my God, I'm really looking forward to this like coming to this when I graduate. And now my graduation's coming up and that event's not happening anymore because the center that put on that event doesn't exist anymore. So it's kind of like these things that, you know, I wanted to take advantage of, whether I knew about it or not, that are not accessible to me anymore. And it makes me sad because it is really meaningful to have people that are on staff that are representing the queer community or the LGBT or, you know, the Hispanic community, or having a paid staff member who is a professional and having that at your university. It's good to know that it's a resource there. And now, you know, we have student groups, and that's kind of like what was really important for me to start out at FAU, to have it to be like this, you know, this space to kind of express ourselves. But like losing, you know, administration, like people that are on staff at the university, you know, because I wrote a follow-up, like I wrote a story. I mean, I wrote about the Center for Ideas in January, and then I wrote a follow-up in April for our April issue, where I interviewed like previous staff members of the Center for Ideas. And they kind of mentioned, yeah, you know, it is just a difference. And so it is like this disservice that, And I'm only thankful that I even got to have these like experiences with the Center for Ideas. You know, I knew about the Lavender graduation, and I've gone to talks that, you know, I went to this conference, and one of the speakers was a woman that I interviewed that was talking about being out in the workplace or navigating the workplace when you're queer. And I went to that talk like years ago. And so the fact that I have these memories of interacting with this center that doesn't exist anymore, so now that all the students after me are not even gonna know about it. So that's another thing. Without FAU, the library keeps all their student papers like in their archives, So they've been putting out FAU in their archives as well as they do for the New Jersey Press and stuff. So I'm like, 50 years from now, people are going to be looking like what happened in Florida, and they're going to be have this as like a historical record. I didn't even realize that at the time when I started it. I only talked to the library and then they told me about that. But I, you know what I mean? I kind of think I just want to express this and express not only what's happened to me personally, but uplift other people. Like with the story that I wrote, I interviewed students that did go there more often than me, and I was able to write the story and share their stories. So that's another thing that, you know, is important.
So that's cool. First draft of history gets preserved for people to see, as you said, 50 years from now. It's I appreciate the fact that someone who's in their 20s would think that, as I'm now in my late 40s, and it's good to think about things of that nature. So I'm looking at other things you wrote, both LGBTQ related and otherwise, just to give people a sense of other things that you've written. I'll just read references to a few. You wrote about LGBTQ candidates running for local office in Palm Beach County. I read somewhere that you like covering entertainment. I saw there was a short piece, a review of a local concert last October. You spotlighted the Haitian community at your school. You wrote about the financial impact of the men's basketball team making the Final Four. I feel like that's a pretty good sampling of the different types of things that you've done. Besides the stuff that we've already talked about, what's the piece that you've done that you're most proud of?
Yeah, you know, one of the pieces I'm most proud of was one that I was in our January issue of Out of AU. And it was a review of Chapel Roan's concert in Fort Lauderdale on October 26th, which was the night before my 25th birthday. And it was also kind of like a preview of Olivia Rodrigo was playing in Miami, like in March, and Chapel Roan was opening for Olivia Rodrigo. And something that I'm just really proud of that, because like it was really cool seeing her, but she has completely blown up like on TikTok, and she played at Coachella, and she had an NPR Tiny Desk concert. And so she, like, when I saw her, I just knew that she was going to be up and coming, and I just knew she was going to be the next big thing. So it's really cool seeing that happen now. So that was really cool. I was also pretty proud of that March Madness story, because that was my first story writing about something kind of sports related. And it was cool to write it like from a news angle, because that was like a big thing for FAU. We could have won, you know, we really could have won, because literally, I mean, well, we could have got into the final game, because the game before the final game, it was at the buzzer. That shouldn't even be allowed, but it was at the buzzer. The other team beat us, and we could have got into the final game. And if we had gotten, whatever. And so we definitely did better that year than this year.
No, but I like the idea that I think it's cool as a writer to be able to get in on the ground floor of something, going back to the concert, getting in on the ground floor of something before it blows up, and knowing that you got to see it and that you got to write about it. You were one of the first, which I think is a really cool kind of thing just for anyone that's an aspiring journalist, I think, to think about. What's the process of writing like for you?
Yeah, it's, you know, we'll interview people, and then it's funny because I interview people and then I, you know, record my interviews, and then I go through my interviews and I pick up the quotes that I want to use, and then I write around it. One of my advisors told me I was doing it the opposite way, that he writes what he like his transitions and stuff, and then he picks out the quotes. So I just thought it was so crazy, because I was like, how? Like, I just couldn't imagine doing it another way, because I feel like strong quotes are just such a big part of the story. So I personally like to pick out my quotes first and then figure out a way to write around that. I can understand the rationale of doing it the opposite way. I don't know, maybe I'll try it, but I just thought it was so interesting how like we're both journalists and we just had a completely different method of approaching an article.
Yep. And speaking of quotes, this going back to the how the FAU Campus Inclusion Center vanished, you had a great quote to close it. I hope that this is just a phase in Florida history, said DeBerry, who is one of the people that you talk to. But at the same time, I don't see myself living in Florida because it's just so volatile right now. I'm just here to go to college and get out.
Yeah.
That was pretty strong. That was a great kicker.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Thank you. I thought so cool. I thought so too. And, you know, the person that said it, like, really cool person. So I'm grateful.
Nice.
They talked to us.
So what are the journalism issues? Things like reporter safety and reporters' rights and things of that ilk that you're most passionate about?
I don't think we see this as much in the U.S., but this is like a global issue. But just like reporters, literally reporters just being killed either by their government or by other people. I feel like I see that a lot in other countries, but there have also been instances where people are killed here. You know, there was a reporter in Orlando that was like shot and killed on an assignment. So I definitely just think our physical safety is a really big thing and something that I worry about. And I definitely think about a lot, and especially globally. I think about reporters in other countries, and I know that they don't have the same kind of protections here, even though we have our own issues in the US. But yeah, so that's kind of a big thing that wears on my heart.
What does success look like to you for this publication?
It definitely looks, you know, I graduate at the end of December. And so a big thing that I want is to be able to have somebody like that I can pass it on to after I graduate. That's when I will consider it a success. Like when I leave FAU, if I have a student that wants to take it on after me and so that it can kind of live on, that would be a really big goal of mine. You know, the University Press has been around at FAU like for at least years. I don't even know exactly how long. I know that one of the advisors has been involved since 1998. So, but I think it was maybe even bigger. So having like a paper that lives on after I graduate is a big goal of mine. Absolutely. So I think like I will have known I succeeded when that happens.
No, that'll be very, very cool. Certainly. What's the hardest part of running it?
Keeping myself accountable. You know, I struggle a lot with procrastination. And so my editor is, you know, my advisor, Jason and Michael Kuritsky, they have just been really supportive and helpful to me. So that's been the hardest part, is just my own kind of personal things that I'm working on, though, and I'm definitely getting better. But yeah, so that's kind of a thing.
How do you view the future of, let's talk about the future of journalism a bit, and how do you view it with and your place in it and the opportunities that are there for a queer woman like yourself?
Yeah, no, I definitely view the future. You know, I think the future is bright, kind of like the benefits of being like, okay, all this crap, honestly, that is happening in Florida. Legislate, you know, this anti-DEI stuff, and like DeSantis had for before that, he had the Don't Say Gay bill, and then, you know, abortion now is 6 weeks, and now we have medical marijuana potentially being recreational also on the ballot. So that's actually a good thing. We'll see if that passes. So basically, in Florida, like in you know, November, we have two really big things on the ballot, which is recreational marijuana, and then an amendment that will kind of have codify like abortion access, like in our state constitution. So basically, just being in this time where these things are happening, I kind of think like it just makes me feel more empowered to use my voice. I kind of was like, all these things are happening in Florida. Good thing I'm a journalism major, because this is news. And so that's kind of the only way that I've made it a little more positive, that I'm like, all right, these things are happening in Florida. I don't think they're just and right. And so I'm going to write about it and use my free speech. You know, one of my professors said that like journalism is like the only industry that is like codified, like in the First Amendment, you know? And so it's definitely, you know, I just really hope, and I think having more marginalized groups be in journalism and like lend our voices, I think we will just continue doing what I think is a really big role in journalism, which is kind of like shining a light on injustice that's going on.
Yeah, the more stuff that happens, the more people, ideally, hopefully, that are going to want to know about it, the more journalists that are going to be needed to tell the stories. That's an interesting consequence of what's going on. What kind of journalist do you want to be?
I really would love to, I don't know, there's a few paths. One of my favorite books is The Bell Jar by Sylvia Plath, and there's this passage in it where she is imagining all these figs, and the figs are like representing like different ways her life can go, and she just can't, she's kind of mentally going through it, and so she can't really decide in this imagined thing that she's imagining, she can't decide which fig to pick, and so all the figs kind of fall to the ground and she can't make a choice. I just think about it sometimes because there are like different ways that I imagine my journalist career going. And so I just know like when I graduate, it'll be like the opportunities available to me. But I would love, you know, one thing that I would love to be is like a write about local government and, you know, write for my local paper when I graduate. I think city government and local government is really interesting. You know, for my broadcast journalism class this semester, I did this radio piece about the Lake Worth mayor's race, because there were four candidates running and then two of them were, because this was like an audio thing. I'll have to send it to you. I don't know if he posted it yet, but like four people were running. One of them was the incumbent mayor. Two of the candidates were queer, but the incumbent mayor got the endorsement of the Palm Beach County Human Rights Council, which is an LGBT rights organization. So that was kind of interesting. You know what I mean? That's happening like in our city government. And it has what my broadcast journalist professor calls journalistic tension. So I just think that's cool. So I think the stories that are happening in local government are very interesting to me. You know, it directly affects our lives. What was interesting about that race is that two of the candidates got close enough where it went to a runoff. So we had to vote again on those two candidates. So it really shows like how close these things can be. So I think writing about local government would be really cool. And then there's another goal that maybe might be later in my career. I would love to be like an investigative reporter and write for ProPublica. When I was at CMA, I got to tour ProPublica and it was really, really cool. Because that is just a huge like organization that is like huge as in like their impact, because they just, you know, write these stories and they collaborate with newspapers like around the country. And so it just seems really cool to like work there and be working on these stories that are really, really impactful. These are really these like investigative reporters that like talk about shining a light on injustice is what ProPublica does. So that would really be like a long-term goal of mine too.
So mental health is a subject that we often bring up here. And I would just ask you, how do you manage your mental health?
I see a therapist every week. It's Wednesday is my therapy day. So I talked to her this morning. So that has been really, really big resource for me. Just a huge, she's just so important to me. And I have been in therapy like for years. And so I really like advocate for people, you know, if they're able to go to a therapist. I know like some people are kind of resistant to the idea. And I think some people think that something has to be really quote unquote wrong to go to a therapist, but it really doesn't. Like I think even if you don't have any, you know, mental health, like severe ones or anything, like I think anyone could benefit. You know, I talk to her about things that are going on in my personal life, but I also talk a lot about like work and my journalism and kind of ways that I can optimize and become a better reporter and person. So that's been really helpful. You know, I also see a psychiatrist. So I also, you know, take care of that. And I get a lot of exercise. That has been really helpful for my mental health. You know, I went on a 3-mile walk this morning and that's just like my favorite thing to do. Honestly, just walking and listening to music has just one of the biggest ways that I de-stress, and it puts me in a really good mood. And other forms of exercise too. I also work at campus recreation, so that's like the gym at FAU. So I think that's really great. And just like talking to people, you know, I really support like leaning on my friends and my advisors. And so, yeah, I definitely think mental health should be discussed more. And I think the more open that we are about it and about like ways that we treat it, the better off we all will be.
All right. So last question here. The show is called The Journalism Salute. We salute you for your good work, and we ask that you do likewise. You've shouted out a couple of advisors already, but is there a journalist or journalism organization that you would like to salute for their good work?
I think that the DART Center for Journalism and Trauma is really cool. You know, it's kind of a project of the Columbia Journalism School, and they talk about mental health and like this like secondary PTSD that can happen from like covering these sort of things. So I just think that's really cool because I, you know, some of the things that we write about can be really heavy. And I think I'm definitely really big supporter of mental health and self-care. And so it is really cool that there's this organization that is focused on that. So I definitely look up to that. And also ProPublica, which I just kind of went on a whole spiel about.
Yep. All right. Mary Rosoreth, a student at Florida Atlantic University, founder of Out FAU student publication. Thank you for joining us. Best of luck. We'll be following you well beyond FAU.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Journalism Salute. Please let us know what you think of the show. You can find us on Twitter at JournalismPod, and you can email us at JournalismSalute@gmail.com.